Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour number three, Felger and Mads, 4:05 in the evening, Red Sox Minute. To me, the most interesting Red Sox story in the offseason is them trying to get under this luxury tax threshold, which I'm actually okay with. I'm not going to hammer them for it. Every team in the league, including the Dodgers and the Yankees, do it. So just the way business is done, I'm going to accept it, not butt my head against the wall and complain about ticket prices and da-da-da. In this case, I'm just going to accept it because I also think it gives them the opportunity to do something they need to do, which is flip the DNA of the team just a little bit. Chaim Bloom is now the new GM. You've got a new regime in there. So shape the team a little bit in your image. Don't just come back with the same team. And I think this gives them an excuse or a reason to change the mix on the roster. And to me, there's no greater example than the turd in the punch bowl himself, David Price. He was never the right fit here. He never liked it here when he played here or when he didn't play here. He's always hated it here. He's always hated you. You've always hated him. It's been a forced marriage. It worked-ish. Kind of, you got your World Series, but for the most part, outside of that World Series, it's been pretty miserable here with David Price for his 4 years, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Team broadcasters can't fly with the team because they're afraid of getting jumped. Every other thing, it's David Price this, David Price that. We got to monitor his injuries because he plays too many video games. Just the black cloud of misery. This miserable prick. Enough.
Well, last year was really the tipping point, too, after he held all the cards and he got the Trump card now and he won the World Series and actually succeeded in the postseason for the first time in his career. He still had to make trouble with Eckersley again last year.
He couldn't help himself.
Right. So, please, enough of David Price. I arrived at this a couple weeks ago. It's like, I don't want to trade Mookie Betts for pennies on the dollar to get under that number. So what's the next big contract? David Price. Oh, I hate that guy. Let's get rid of him. Like, it's just, I don't know. It just, that's sort of how the thinking went. It wasn't very complicated. Sort of conflicting reports on what you think or, you know, what people think is going to happen. You said yes. We mentioned this yesterday. I said just from a Brewers perspective, for example, I'll give you Josh Hader. If you give me David Price back at $15 million per, that's cutting his salary in half. So you have to swallow half of David Price's money. I sort of came up with that number. But it turns out that's what some people think the Red Sox are going to have to do.
Right. I feel like that's a little too much, but that might be where they are.
Well, meaning you don't get enough savings on David Price.
Correct.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. He's due $96 million. Say you have to swallow half of it, whatever that is, you know, $48 million. Is that enough to trade him for nothing?
Yeah.
Meaning you would trade him for nothing to save half his salary?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Oh, good.
Half the salary. Now, again,
yeah, I'm glad you feel that way.
Yeah, I was looking to get something back. So I was saying that he $10 million. And whoever gets him, you know, pays $20 million a year, and then maybe you get a little something back. So
No,
I get it backwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I would dump him to get rid of him. I've evolved on this. I would dump Price to get rid of the money.
Do you understand my question?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay, so even if it costs you still having to pay him $15 million a year, call it, you're paying him $15 million a year just to go away.
Right, to save $15
million.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, yes,
absolutely.
I am. I'm paying $15 million a year in dead money to make him go away. Yep, I am. And I don't care what I get in return. Bag of rosin bags, for all I care.
The content isn't worth it for the show. Just go.
I mean, we've exhausted the content.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times can we do the voice? I mean, I love it. But Alex Speer seems to throw cold water on it. Alex Speer in the Globe says, if Price were a free agent, two contractual reference points for him might be the one-year $18 million deal that Cole Hamill signed with the Braves this winter and the three-year $48 million contract that Rich Hill signed with the Dodgers after 2016. So, boy, his stock has dropped.
Yeah, I think that Hill deal's a little low. I mean, I think that Hamels is a better comp, but Hamels is also older than Price. But keep going.
I'm just saying, as you know, you sign him as a $30 million a year pitcher, but if he hit the market, he'd only make 16 or 18. So anyway, my $15 million figure wasn't that far off. It wasn't that far off. Spear says, is such a scenario likely? Okay. Not necessarily, he says. An executive with a team that tried but failed to sign Cole, Gerrit Cole, who just signed that huge deal with the Yankees, said that the only Red Sox pitcher his team would want to acquire would be lefty Eduardo Rodriguez, a cost-controlled option for the next two seasons, who finished sixth in the Cy Young voting last year. That said, one evaluator wondered whether the Red Sox might be willing to package Price with the team picking up perhaps $20 to $25 million and bets to get massive salary relief and potentially significant prospect return. So packaging bets with Price to help get rid of Price's salary and getting a prospect in return.
So when I saw this today, I actually leaned towards yes, because I don't deem Price that much of a sacrifice. He's just been such a pain in the ass. So again, if by, you know, by attaching bets to him, it gets you a prospect back and you basically move, you know, call it 60% of the combined money. Yeah, I would do it. I would. But I'm also resigned at this stage to thinking the Red Sox are going to take a little step back this year. I don't think it'll be a big step back, but or step sideways. Call it whatever you want. There's going to be some bleeding here. There's going to be some pain because they want to get under that 208. So if you have to attach bets to Price to get something back, I would do it.
I'm a hard no. Hard no.
Because I think bets is gone at the end of next year anyway.
Fine. I want to contend this year. I still want a season. And I still think they have a chance to do it. I still think they have a chance to do it. So this leads into the next thing. Mark Feinsohn, MajorLeagueBaseball.com, posted this. Said one scenario that has been floated in recent weeks would have the Red Sox attaching a young player. Andrew Benintendi's name has been mentioned often. Attach him to Price in order to dump the pitcher's contract. The Angels made a deal of this nature on Tuesday. I won't give you the names because you don't care. So, but this has happened. Attaching a young player to the contract to get rid of the contract. However, Feinsohn writes, a source said that concept has not been considered by Boston's front office, nor will it be, especially not with Andrew Benintendi. Quote, that's not going to happen, a source said. To which I say, good.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by this with Benintendi. They're not going to give him away.
I know this sounds a little counterintuitive. I get out of my money problem with money, meaning I swallow as much money on David Price's contract till he's out of here. I let Jackie Bradley go for nothing. And if you can get Bradley out of here and only pay $15 million on Price's contract, that just about gets you where to need you, just about where you need to go, right?
Close, yeah. They'd have a little more work to do because they got holes to fill. So I would say get ready for some bargain shopping. But you know, between they got to save somewhere between $30 and $40 million.
So listen, just how much, this is Feinsohn again, just how much of Price's contract the Red Sox would need or be willing to pay down would depend on the return. For example, the Padres have discussed with the Red Sox a deal that would include Will Myers, who has 3 years and $67.5 million remaining on his contract going back to Boston. That would save the Red Sox roughly $10 million per year, which means they would still need to shed at least one more player, Jackie Bradley Jr., for example, to get below the CBT threshold. Tell me about Will Myers.
Okay, I'm not a Will Myers fan. I think he's a softball player, for lack of a better term.
First baseman?
More of an outfielder, DH. He's a defensive liability. Sinkhole, as a former GM in the game used to tell me about bad defensive players. So, low average. He's got some power, but I'm not even sure how many home runs he hit last year. I'll look it up real quick. And he's got a few years left at $20 million per. Okay, now, the luxury tax number is lower.
He can't play first base?
I don't think he's played a lot over there.
Okay.
So, now again, does that mean they'd be, you know, unwilling to try it? I don't know, but, like, I would just as soon get nothing. So seriously.
Yeah, right.
Now, so, because, again, the reason they want to send Myers back is because they want to send some money back this way.
Right.
I think you're better off getting nothing back and getting rid of the contract.
So you'd rather pay $15 million a year in dead money to get back a rosin bag versus Will Myers coming back.
Yes, and I'd play Chavis in first base.
Okay,
same deal.
Here's another one that Feinsohn says has been discussed. St. Louis could include Matt Carpenter in a deal, meaning Boston would assume the $37 million he's owed over the next two seasons. Okay, so almost $20 million per year, and then there's an option for a third with a little buyout. So that equals 40 million. Just call it to be safe. 40 million over the 2 years, 20 million per. And that would potentially shrink the Red Sox payroll by more than 13 million in the process. How do you feel about Matt Carpenter?
So I don't know what kind of year Carpenter had last year. In the years I've seen him, Carpenter's a pretty good offensive player.
He is. Can I give him my thought? I think he lost his job at times last year. He really dipped. Dude is a winner. Dude is a freaking winner.
But let me tell you right now.
He scares me. I love Matt Carpenter, meaning I hate him.
Yeah, he can hit.
And he hits big. Like, he's just in the big moment, he's the guy you want up. You know, even when he sucked, even this last year, he had a down year. And did he lose his job? Who was the young guy that they got? And I can't remember. But even when he had lost his job, it would be like pinch anyway. I never want to see the guy. He's nails. He's a nails ball player.
So the thing that bugs me about the scenarios I'm seeing so far is that there's bad money coming back in every one of them. Bad money coming back. So again, Will Myers, bad money. Now, Carpenter, I don't know if I'd call bad money like Will Myers, because I think Myers sucks. Okay, and sucks is too strong, but that's me saying sucks. So take that into account. So how does that help the Red Sox if they only save $10
million? Just start chipping away and you remove the turd from the punch bowl.
Yeah, but so I get it, but I think their financial needs are bigger than what teams are portraying them as. So the Red Sox got to get under 208. Fine. But they still have needs to fill. Which means that they have to get down to like 195 before they start filling their needs. You follow me?
Yeah.
So once you get, you got to be under 208 by the end of the season as a finished product, which means you got to get down to 195, 200.
Okay, so
to start the year and then maybe add a player or two low money during the year. That's it.
So all these details we can hash out, and I look forward to hashing them out with you. And following the team and seeing what they do to hash out these details.
Sure.
In the meantime, let's get David Price the hell out of here.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
That's it.
I'm on board with that. And you know, of the pitchers they have, he'd be the guy I would most want to move, unless someone is willing to take the wholesale contract, in which I would move Sale.
He doesn't like you. You don't like him. It didn't work here, meaning it wasn't meant to be. It's not the right fit. On the field, off the field, be thankful. He, you know, crossed the threshold and won you one and helped win you one. And that's, you know, okay, so take that and run from him.
I'd like it if they could find out what team he doesn't want to go to and send him there.
I think he's got some no trade protection, but find a team that wants him.
San Diego would be a good place to bury him.
Bury him in a place where they don't care about the game and he can just go on and do his thing.
San Diego.
And play his video games and get his carpal tunnel syndrome and the cysts on the wrist that come from the carpal tunnel, which hasn't been reported enough. It's all because of his fracocta video games. Like, enough of this guy. See you later. Lighten up the entire Red Sox experience by peddling this guy. It's time. It's time to say goodbye to David Price. All right, your thoughts on everything right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Honestly, I just think it's trash. You know, he had an unbelievable career, 25 seasons, he's a Hall of Famer. I saw his special on MLB Network. It was cool. The one thing that definitely stood out to me, he had zero former teammates in that interview. Not one. Talking about him. It was him talking about himself. If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that. And to me, that's all you need to know. That tells the entire story right there. My teammates will vouch for me. My coaches will vouch for me. He doesn't have that.
Freaking dick. Remember that last year?
Yeah.
And remember what that was over too? It was like he had seen Eck, and I can't remember exactly, but something like
this. It was petty nonsense. You don't remember it.
But all I'm saying is that, like, they did a feature on Eckersley in the Globe magazine or something, and they asked about David Price, and he said, "Man, I don't want to talk about him. He doesn't want to talk about me," or something like that. And that set off David Price.
Correct.
With this, you know, what was the thing they tweeted up before he even showed up at the clubhouse?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be lit.
Oh, it's going to be lit.
And then
once those doors open, I got things to say.
And then he calls all the media over and then just eviscerates Eckersley, like a complete character attack, because he said, "I don't want to talk about him. He doesn't want to talk about me," or something along those lines. Enough.
People, oh, yeah. No, like, no. See you
people
later.
Like me, I'm a good friend. Oh, go away.
Seriously.
Send him to like some baseball Siberia.
Go away. Change the mix of the team. Change the mix of the team.
But I think they're headed there. Like, honestly, I don't have a lot of concern about that. I think that's coming. My question is, you know, them making the right deal to do it. Because it feels, honestly, I thought this was going to be a little bit easier than it is. I didn't expect it to happen till now because, you know, the pitchers needed to sign first. That had to happen. Cole and Strasburg and all those, you know, pieces had to tumble before they got to this stage. But it feels to me like this is going to be harder than I even thought. That's the part I'm worried about.
Okay. To me, it begins and ends with David Price, and then we'll get to all the little details. Owen in Westford. Go ahead, Owen.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Owen. What do you got?
I couldn't agree any more about getting rid of that scumbag Price.
Okay.
And send him to Siberia. I love that.
Okay. So, I just want to – he's not an S-bag. Like,
he's just
– he's not a criminal. He's not hurting
people.
He's
a baby.
He's just a pill. He's just a black cloud, a dark cloud of misery. He's just, he's a hard guy to root for. He's a hard guy to get behind. He hates it here. You aren't that keen on him. It's just, it wasn't meant, it was a forced marriage. He never would have come here in the first place unless he would outbid the Cardinals by tens of millions of dollars. He didn't want to come here. He's never liked it here. I mean, he likes the team fine and his teammates fine. And like, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the experience that is being a Red Sox in Boston. It's just not for him.
No, he hates it. Look, I mean, on some level, it might be Gerrit Cole in New York, but that's a different story than for another day. He's a Southern California guy. But Price, it really is at this stage addition by subtraction, right? Like, they're going to be better off without him. That part, to me, is not really debatable. And Murray touched on this earlier, and he couldn't be more right. Like, when you really look at it, it was all going swimmingly for him last year. He was pitching well. He was not a problem. Nobody was worried about David Price. Nobody. He was like just living a nice, peaceful existence. We were bitching about the rest of the team, but we weren't bitching about Price. And he couldn't help himself.
I'm a masochist.
I mean, he couldn't help himself.
He won. He really did. By actually having postseason success for the first time ever and winning the World Series, he won. I hold all the trump cards, and he had to do it to himself because I need to be hated. Like there's a problem there. Like he needs help. Somewhere else and get.
So go somewhere and get some help.
Yeah, really. Again, it's an attention thing or something. He's something wrong there. Murray's right.
Good for Jason Mastrodonato in the Herald, who is picking up these rumors of teams actually being interested in Price and swinging one of these kind of deals. And he writes, the Red Sox can't be this lucky, can they? Just in time for the holiday season, reports suggest there's a trade market for the injury-plagued 34-year-old David Price. It's fairly robust, he says, and the $96 million still owed to him over the next 3 years may not be as bad as we thought. It's almost too good to be true. It'd be the gift of all gifts if the Red Sox could unload Price and even half of his salary. They should have done it yesterday if such a trade existed. So I'm with Jason. If you still have to pay $15 million in dead money just to say goodbye, say goodbye. And his big thing is the injury concern. He says in the 4 years he's been here, he's missed time with elbow tendonitis, elbow inflammation, and an elbow strain, carpal tunnel syndrome, and most recently a cyst on his wrist, which, though he said it wasn't related, is often associated with carpal tunnel. That's the first I've read that. That those cysts are often associated with carpal tunnel. And you know how we got the carpal tunnel, people?
Video games.
Got to play some Fortnite.
The freaking joystick or whatever it is. that you're tapping there?
Controllers, Phil.
The controller, the AB button. His freaking video game obsession gave him carpal tunnel, which gave him the sis, which is just sort of a funny side note. But all that being said, I don't consider him a huge injury risk. I mean, I think he's held up for the most. I mean, I'm more concerned about Chris Sale's elbow.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Than David Price's anything.
Well, look, because this thing in his wrist, again, there were pitching injuries, and then there were things that you sort of say, well, that's something that can happen, but it's not. You know, it's not an elbow, it's not a shoulder. And the wrist is one of them. Like, I'd even go so far as to say when a guy has bone chips in his elbow, I don't get overly alarmed. You can take those out, and again, as long as there's no ligament damage, or usually you can get around that. Like, lots of guys have bone chips that get addressed at some point, and then they're fine. So I sort of put the cyst in that category. Like, I don't deem Price to be a major health issue. I don't. Now, but the problem is that people are going to use that against the Red Sox. They're going to use it. And so on the one hand, Master Donato says get rid of him, which I agree with.
Yep.
But this is the dilemma. At the other thing, he says, well, there are all these injury things. Well, you're not going to get both at the bargaining table.
No, that's right. But like I said, that's not the reason I'm trading him. It's a health risk. I think he's a fine health risk. And if I'm acquiring him, I don't see rotator cuff fraying. I don't see the ULR or whatever that.
UCL, yeah.
UCL, that thing. You know, this is all. Because he freaking wants to play Miss Pac-Man or whatever the hell.
Fortnite.
Here's John. San Diego's perfect.
This generation, old man.
John in Boston. Hi, John.
Hey, it's me again, your worst nemesis. I usually disagree with you, but I couldn't agree more about David Price. It did not work out. He's got all those injuries to his elbow, and he also has carpal tunnel, which sidelined a bunch of other pitchers' careers, and he needs to be shipped out of town. I disagree with you that it should be 50 cents on the dollar. It needs to be more about 75 cents on the dollar, and Bradley needs to go too, and that would give them about a savings of $43 million on the luxury tax.
Okay, John, it's easy to say, I guess you're saying you only pick up 25%. That's, of course, I'd want to pick up nothing. It's not going to happen. You got to be realistic about what it's going
to
take.
Yeah, you're going to have to take bigger chunks. And again, see, I think that the signings in the market now help the Red Sox a little bit. Because they can go to, like, if teams before were saying, well, you got to eat at least half the money. The Red Sox can now say, Gerrit Cole just got $36 million a year. Strasburg got 35. Okay, so if we eat 10, you are getting Price for $20 million. That's almost half of what those guys are paying. That's a good deal. And I would say David Price at a Rick Porcello contract is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I
like,
agree.
If I'm the Red Sox, I'm shooting for that. I want someone to take 20 of the 30, and I'm rounding off. But that's what I want. I want someone to take $20 million. Because in the current market, teams can afford 20. Like Now, again, I'm probably being unrealistic. And this obviously affects what they get back or what they don't get back. But I think they have to drop more money than people are saying they do. I think people are missing that. Fine, you got to move money to get under 208. You then still have holes to fill, and you have a whole season to play.
So I'm with you, Maz. Let's find some more. I find the exercise interesting. I like playing amateur GM. Let's find some more savings. No problem. Start with Price.
Yeah, he's an easy spot to go with.
So, I mean, that's sort of my focus today with a lot of other things, including we've talked about Sky Judge. Sky Judge coming to the NFL, Sky Judge coming to the NHL, another replay, taking a big goal off the board last night for the Bruins. We'll reset that, and we'll hear from Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, with his thoughts on the latest Patriots cheating allegation. All of that coming after Murray's Up.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSense. MA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Up top, Martian. Far circle, one time coming in. Nebraska Bank out in front. Bergeron, they score! Jake DeBrusk with a dish out in front. Patrice Bergeron pounds it home. A power play goal. Bruins 2, Capitals nothing.
I believe they're going to challenge you offside.
Washington is challenging for offside.
Yeah. Bergeron carrying the puck up the right wing side. Man in the middle is DeBrusk. And DeBrusk, wow, it's close, huh? Does he have the left foot up or not? As he's crossing over, left foot on the ice, left foot on the ice. It's offside. The puck is in the blue paint, but it's not all the way over the line. And the left toe of DeBrusk comes up just before the puck enters the zone.
So that happened last night, which led to a further conversation, which we've had many, many times about replay. The insidious slippery slope of replay now takes that goal off the board. I'm also frustrated with the Bruins. They get caught on that a lot. I don't know if it's more or less than other teams, but I thought that was another example. If you're watching, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Jake DeBrusk just leaked over the line before David Pastrnak entered the zone. 20 seconds later, the Bruins scored to make it a 2-0 game in Washington. Big goal, and then it got taken off the board by one of these crazy offside replays where it turns out his skate was a couple inches above the line or just past the line, and they brought it back. And it was a real momentum killer and really impacted the game. At that point, again, if it hadn't have been brought back, the Bruins were up 2-0. Zdeno Chara had dropped Tom Wilson with a good fight, and it was like, you know, great sort of statement by the Bruins early on in a place where they just can't win and against a team they just can't beat. And that replay happened. It sort of really swung the momentum and helped cost the Bruins a game. And it's just one of these maddening, little ticky-tack replay things that we just freaking hate. But part of me blames Jake DeBrusk and Bruce Cassidy for not drilling this into his players harder, that you can't get sloppy at the line because they'll get you every single time. There's some nerd watching the feed, and they're going to look at it through a fine-tooth comb, and if you're just a centimeter off, they're going to call the challenge and bring it back. So don't go off sides. He didn't have to go off sides there. But that's just secondary. It was just a horrible rule. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
I mean, I hate it. When it boils it down to this level, it's like, what are we doing here?
So
I'm not even sure it was a couple of inches, Mike. Like you said, an inch or two. It might have been less than that.
So it's one of the things, I'll just say it again. It wasn't off sides, meaning the spirit of the rule. The spirit of the rule, off sides, is you precede the puck into the zone. He didn't. He came in at the same time. The offsides is if you get an advantage. It's like if you precede the puck into the zone and get a step on the defenseman and get behind him because you preceded the puck into the zone, then that's offsides, and that's what they don't want. That's not what happened there. They set up on the power play 20 seconds later after a lost puck, a rebound off the backboards, it goes in the net. Had nothing to do with the play. It's just insane. We've been over it a million times. But we're talking about this because the NFL is reintroduced and sort of thinking about Sky Judge again, which is a replay official that follows every play and can replay anything and change anything, which I'm in favor of as long as it comes with common sense, which means that thing last night, you don't review that. You don't review that. You don't look at that. We're not going to look at pop-up slides at second base or centimeters of skate blades off the ice on those kind of offsides plays. We're not going to review spots of the ball in the middle of the field, in the middle of the first quarter of an NFL game. We're not going to look at that. We're not going to look at clear path in the NBA and flagrant one, flagrant two, and all the things you can now look at. We're just going to look at the obvious, easy plays that impact games, and the Sky Judge is going to take one look at it and change it if it has to be changed, and don't change it if it doesn't have to be changed. We're not going to have to take a commercial. Under my proposal, we're not going to even take a commercial. The Sky Judge is just going to look at it a couple times. Real time, maybe slow it down once. If it's not obvious, we're going to keep going.
No, real time. Don't slow anything down. You know it when you see it.
I'll give them one slow motion replay. One. And if you can't tell, then you can't tell, and we're just going to live with the call on the field. So that N'Keal Harry play, touchdown. Goal last night's a goal. And we're just not gonna do this every night. Paralysis by analysis. We're not doing it. And so, but I have no faith that that's what's going to happen. If they put a sky judge in there, they're just going to look at more plays and take up more of our time, and it's just going to get worse.
I mean, it's got less to do with the actual plan than it does with the execution.
Exactly, exactly right.
Yeah, it really, because I there's very little, you know, in theory, replay should be a good idea. But the execution of it is terrible.
So there's your quick reset of that topic. Martin on Cape Cod wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Martin.
Right. It's the execution of it, Tony. It's the length of time that makes it a momentum killer. The pace and flow of the game that I was just watching has been irreparably altered. I feel like the team that was just on its heels has just come back to life in a free timeout. Watch the trainers, Mike. Of course, guys are going water, tape, relacing, regrouping.
No, it's true. It's momentum. It really happens in basketball, where the last minute of the game, they're constantly going over to the monitor there and flipping the monitor around and putting the headset on. And what are we doing? What are we doing?
Oh, yeah. No. It's brutal. And again, how many times we've already seen evidence of those plays, too, where a guy hits the ball out of a guy's hand. And then while it's going out of a bound, it just brushes the end of his pinky. And he's considered, the offensive player is considered to lose the ball. Again, what are we doing?
Alex in Rhode Island. Hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So nothing annoys me more than when a guy's skate is about an inch offside and it doesn't create an unfair advantage. Why don't they just add something to the end of the rule, like such that it creates an unfair advantage, so you just to keep the guys from cherry picking? But when it's a centimeter difference and they see, they just call it off. It doesn't matter.
So my proposal is a massive simplification, meaning there are no rules. In other words, there's no more challenges either. The coaches don't get to choose what we replay or not. It's solely up to the one guy who has common sense and looks at that play and says whether his skate blade was on the ice or not, it did not impact the play. It was a non-factor in the play. And if I've got to get out my high-def TV and my binoculars and my magnifying glass to see that, I'm not even going to look at it. So I want less rules, not more rules.
Okay, but what you're asking, though, and this is where it gets gray, because look, ideally I want it the same way, okay? But what you're saying is you want it to be based on the judgment of whoever that person is.
Yeah, but we'll have a standard. And the standard will be what the current NFL standard is for pass interference, which is we're not changing it unless it's really obvious and we can all see it. So we're not going to change it. And you don't get to challenge it. You as a coach don't get to waste all of our time with these challenges. I'm going to decide if it's blatant and if it impacts the game and really impacted the play. And I decide, and that's it. And I'm going to be very judicious about how I use it.
I mean, look, if they went that way with everything and made it like PI was at the beginning of this season, I'm fine with that.
Kevin in Brighton, go.
Hey, guys. I agree. The replay is taking far too long. And as much as we'd like 64 Felger Sky judges going around, the answer is in tennis. They already do it. It's the best replay in sports. Everything's animated.
Aren't there challenges, though? But aren't those challenges?
Yeah, but I think they get like one or two, kind of similar to football. Keep that. Then they animate it. The referee doesn't even have to get out of his beach chair, for crying out loud. It shows everything. Put a chip in the ball. Put a chip in the puck. It might make everything still ticky-tack, but you're going to get the call right.
So I just think, you know, tennis is a different animal.
Well, it is, because everything basically is a boundary
call.
It's
just a ball and a line. It's
right.
Not it's bodies.
A right. No, it's a boundary call. And so, you know, footballs and basketball, now you're talking about, you know, what affects a shot, what affects a reception, contacts allowed, but when does it become an element that disrupts the play? Like, it gets way too judgmental, right? Tennis is easy. Hell, the fair foul calls in baseball are easy. Right?
That they still screw up. Okay, so we can weigh in on that. That was one of our topics from before. I do want to get to Zach Taylor, Cincinnati Bengals head coach, addressing the latest taping scandal by the New England Patriots, his thoughts on it, and I think his answers, although, well, I think it's telling. I think what happened today on his conference call with New England was telling. And I'll give you my conclusion on what it all means coming up in your Hill with Zach Taylor as we come back from the next break. Him today with the New England media on the latest taping scandal. That's next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, Zach. I just wanted to get your general thoughts on the Patriots and the videotaping situation.
I have no comment on that.
Coach, it's been reported here as well as in Cincinnati that you were livid over, or members of Kansas City's coaching staff and organization were livid over the episode. Is that true?
I have no comment on that.
Zach, how much are hand signals a part of what you guys do during games at any point in the game?
I think like any team, we communicate visually and verbally, depending on the environment we're in.
Zach, do you believe the Patriots' explanation for this whole thing, that it was a honest mistake?
I don't have any comment on any of that stuff.
Has anyone from the Patriots organization reached out to you about it just to clear the air?
I don't have any comment on any of that.
Do you regret anything, how this all transpired?
No.
Do you have any sort of personal relationship with Coach Belichick?
I do not.
So that's Bengals coach Zach Taylor today with the New England media. How do we read that exchange and that whole Q&A?
Icy. It sounds to me like he's still pissed.
I mean, I don't think there's any question. They're agitated.
This is still a thing for the Bengals.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just, again, see, now I'm having a hard time separating a couple of things here. Okay, the fact that whatever team this happened to has a right to be annoyed.
Go ahead.
But it's the Bengals. So I just instinctively want to take it less seriously because it's the freaking Bengals.
So that's not where I go. I mean, they're pathetic, but, you know, I'd say this about any team, which is, well, my first read is that maybe why this is taking so long, because Cincinnati is pushing back and pushing back hard because they're not over it. All right, so that's not good news. I thought it was entirely possible, because I do basically believe the Patriots account, by and large, that I thought that, well, it should be cut and dried. They gave the explanation. There's multiple videotapes, both the actual tape that the Patriots have and the tape that the Bengals made of the taping, that should tell us exactly what happened, that should corroborate the Patriots story. Cut and dried. It was a mistake. It's a violation. We're going to get fined. But we apologize for it. We didn't mean to do it. And we didn't gain anything out of it. And that by Thursday now, 4 days later, that would be apparent to the Bengals, that Bill would have reached out to Zach Taylor and Robert would have reached out to Mike Brown, and that there would have been apologies and it would have been transparent. And by the time we got to the end of the week, the Bengals would have said, yeah, we were taken back at first, but we understand what happened and it's in the league's hands, but we understand what happened. And for the most part, say it's time to move on. But they're not doing that. So why? Why aren't they doing that?
Because they're still arguing their side of it with the league.
Well, but this is my... So now here's the question. Do they have something more that we don't know?
Possibly.
I mean, like I said, I believe the Patriots account, by and large. Not 100%, but, you know, at least three quarters of it. Is it possible that the Patriots didn't tell us the whole story?
Sure.
Okay, is it possible that there's something else out there that the Bengals have? And because if it's just what the Patriots have told us, why are the Bengals carrying on?
Well, it could be. So it's. I don't think there's a gray area here. It's either paranoia because they look at the Patriots and because of their past history think, nope, something nefarious was going on here. Or something did happen here and we just don't know yet. That's why we got to see the tape.
Right. So that's, again, this is the problem with the Patriots being involved in this stuff. Their reputation precedes them.
Okay, so let me say this. If it's all as it's been portrayed, and I don't know if there's anything else, but if it's as it's been portrayed, and if Cincinnati is going to keep carrying on like this, then I look at Cincinnati and say, would you give me a break already?
Okay, and this is sort of what I'm saying is, again, we're talking about the Bengals here. And so, A, I don't have a lot of respect for the way the organization historically has been run. Secondly, they're what, 1-11? 1-12? I don't even know what their record is. 1-12?
But that shouldn't really factor, Maz, because every game's important to these guys.
Okay, but the point is, they're getting stepped on every week. And eventually you just start to get irritated at getting stepped on. And when you see something you can win, you're going to want to win it. That's all. And so, again, I'm not telling you that that is necessarily what's happening here. I'm just saying that human nature is if you get kicked enough, eventually you're going to get up and kick someone. Like, it just, you know, I think that's just the way it is. So now, is that what's going on here? I don't know. Again, I told you, I have a hard time separating a little bit of it because it's the Bengals. Now, if they, you know, I think there are a lot of elements at play in it. So, but the one you're suggesting, well, I'm not telling you that that's out of play. It's entirely possible that there's more going on here that we don't know about, and the Bengals are in the right.
The Patriots have really put out their side of the story. I believe it by and large. But what if there's more to it? And the Bengals put out their side of the story too, I suppose. And so if it's all just what's been reported from both sides, what are you really caring on about now, Bengals? You know, providing Bill's reached out and Roberts reached out and they've been totally transparent. We've seen all the tapes. What are you going to make this a federal case now? Like, that's kind of stupid. That's kind of silly. But the concern would be that they actually have something more, or they know something happened that hasn't been portrayed accurately by the Patriots, or, which I've raised before, that other teams have come out of the woodwork to report to the league similar incidents. Now, this is the only time the team has sent this film crew on the road this year. In fact, it's the only time, according to Jeff Howe in The Athletic, the only time they've sent a film crew like this in the history of Belichick's tenure here. In 20 years, they've never credentialed a crew for a neutral site press box and gone up in the press box with a camera. That was the only time. And wouldn't you know, they filmed the sidelines. Wouldn't you know that that's what they came back with? But whoops, wow, like only the Patriots. Coincidence, I'm willing to believe it. I'm being sarcastic there, but honestly, I do think it was an honest mistake. Innocent mistake. But if other teams have called the league to say, well, we had a thing at Foxborough a couple weeks ago where this, that, and the other, and we just, you know, we'll bring your attention to it because this thing's now on the table, and now there's other people coming out of the woodwork with legitimate claims, not just piling on, then that's problematic.
Well, yeah, so that's the other element in this thing, is that there's always the chance that someone else comes out of the woodwork. The other thing is,
but all I
understand that this thing's on video. I get it. I get that there was a camera on the side of them and they recorded something. What if they disagree what the video shows? In other words, what if the league says, well, it's what the Patriots told us, and they told us why the camera was on the sideline and that, you know, someone made a mistake and they walked away. And the Bengals say, and you believed them? After what happened 12 years ago, you believe them?
Well, this is why the Bengals video of the guy that was there, the producer, the full-time Kraft Sports Productions producer, is so important. You know, was he really innocent mistake? You'll be able to tell by his body language and how he carried himself. He offered to delete it. Was that sort of a under the table, hey, pal, let me slide on this? Or was it, oh, my God, I have no idea what I just did. If you want me to delete it, I'll delete it. I don't even know what I did wrong. Like, you'll be able to tell from that.
Yeah, what if the league thinks that the guy's telling the truth and the Bengals don't?
Then you know what? I'd tell the Bengals to just, dude, you know.
Okay, so but that could explain why the Bengals are angry.
I guess. All I'm telling you is it ain't blowing over.
Oh, it's definitely not from the Bengals' point of view.
And I'll just give you a quick example. When they had the tampering thing with the Houston Texans over the offseason with Nick Caserio and the Jack Easterby and the Nick Caserio thing, that got a little nasty for the time to a point where the Patriots filed a tampering charge. They filed a tampering charge against Houston, which is kind of a big deal. Within a week, I think. Maybe it was a little longer. I don't know. But within a pretty short amount of time in my memory.
Yeah, that didn't take more than a couple of weeks.
It was withdrawn, I think.
Kraft and McNair spoke. McNair came out publicly, apologized, said we're no longer interested in McDaniels, and the Patriots rescinded their tampering charge. They talked it out at ownership. They connected. They talked it out, and they settled amongst themselves, and the league never even had to get involved. That has not happened here.
No.
That hasn't happened. I mean, I hope they've reached out, but it doesn't sound to me like Cincinnati's buying it.
No.
Which is a surprise to me. So we'll pick this up on the other side with everything else we've hit on today and your calls. Quick update from Murray right here. No commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.